Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, who's a repeat guest, John Allen of Bluestone Capital. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Wayne.
John is one of the investment banking pioneers of the D.C. area. If you didn't know this, I'm telling you a little bit of his history. During his two decades in investment banking, he's helped build two highly successful firms that were acquired by other financial institutions and has been involved in more than 150 deals with and for Fortune 500 and middle market companies. It includes some of the biggest names in aerospace, defense, information technology, and professional and technical service sectors. Because of his success and thought leadership, one of my favorite terms, thought leadership, John has received many industry accolades, including Investment Banker of the Year honors from the Association for Corporate Growth. He's always interviewed on much more prolific radio shows than this one, but we're really, really very happy that he's decided to join us today. A little bit more background. He founded Bluestone Capital. When did you found the firm?
Just a little over 2 years ago.
2 years ago, and things are going well for you now.
They're going very well, thank you.
Which is an amazing thing. He was a co-owner at Windsor Group, and then Windsor Group, of course, sold out to BB&T Capital, and John was there for many years and now is here. He's also on the boards of various charities, including Northern Virginia Family Service, Northern Virginia Tech Council, CIS Secure Computing, Iron Bow Technologies, etc. He's got a master's degree in business administration from AU and his bachelor's in political science from the University of Florida. John, how has uncertainty regarding the federal budget and sequestration impacted the merger and acquisition market for government contractors?
Well, there's no doubt it's had an impact. It's made everything, as you would expect, a lot harder. It certainly has not halted mergers and acquisitions. There's been a pretty steady state of activity for really the last 12 to 18 months. I think what it's done is it's raised the bar. It's made companies have to be a heck of a lot more prepared before they ever undertake the process of selling their business. I think, as also we've seen, however, it with uncertainty comes opportunity. We created Bluestone 2 years ago because we saw the market starting to change, and we felt there was a need for a different kind of investment bank out there that had the experience through both an up and a down cycle. And we also saw back the last time the sector saw a declining budget environment, we saw a lot of companies emerge and assume leadership positions as a result of being very proactive in a market that was otherwise uncertain. Companies like Antion and Viridian, who really didn't exist until in the mid-90s and built themselves during that time when we had a declining budget environment. So
they took advantage of opportunities that were there.
Absolutely. It is not a time to rely on the status quo.
Well, you know, that's a great statement. You should trademark that. It's not a time to rely on the status quo, and it's true. Do you think sequestration is going to happen?
My gut tells me no. I've been around Washington now 20 years. I've seen a lot of these things that come, and you know, the world is going to come to an end, so to speak, and somehow miraculously at the 11th hour.
They
pull it out, and all the parties take credit for the solution. I certainly hope that's the case again.
So
I think, you know, the big difference here is we've had it's been a very uncertain time for a long period of time as they've been trying to figure out a solution. But my gut tells me no. That's, you know, what my wife has certainly told me as I get anxious about all these things over the years. She always says, "Well, you get anxious, you come home, and then all of a sudden there's a solution at the 11th hour." So I'm gonna rely on her gut.
Well, I like her thought process. I'm hopeful that they'll come to a solution in a lame duck session. I know they're, you know, convening already now to do that. My expectation is that they're not going to solve the world's problems by December 31st, but at least hopefully they'll come up with a framework for it.
Certainly. And look, you know, my view is if they wanted to show bipartisanship, right now might be the time to just simply say, we're not going to let sequestration happen.
Right.
If it means we're going to have to extend the time frame until we get the new Congress in, until we get past all that. That's what you would do in the business world. So hopefully they would do something as common sense as that in the political world.
But they don't operate the government like a business. Right?
Right. Very good point.
So anyway, we had a massive changeover in the Senate. I mean, the Democrats now have 55 seats instead of 51, but the Republicans basically maintained control of the House and the president was reelected. How will the election results alter the merger and acquisition environment in your view?
I think, you know, look, we have a sector, at least obviously we focus on the defense and government marketplace. So,
right.
So can't comment. I'm not sure these comments would apply to the broader merger and acquisition environment, but we have a sector that has a lot of well-managed companies that have significant resources that are going to face growth challenges if they rely on organic growth activity. It is still a very big budget, no matter how you slice it, even if we see a downturn. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, businesses, long and short of it, they want to grow. They want to continue to be successful. So I think, you know, while it might change in the swim lanes that buyers focus on will change over time, I think we'll continue to see a very active consolidating environment as we have in the past 12 to 18 months. And certainly, I can't imagine, we've been have some of the most uncertain times the last year,
right.
And we're still seeing deals happen. I think with clarity, good, bad, or indifferent, clarity will help those even take more steps towards taking the plunge in the merger and acquisition arena.
Well, you talked about opportunity. What are some of the hot acquisition areas in federal marketplace and in the Department of Defense marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a herd mentality, so you can see it pretty easy out there. I think it's things like mobility solutions, wireless. We've seen buyers like General Dynamics go out and make acquisitions in that area. Certainly for the health segment of the
Absolutely.
Of the sector has been very active from a consolidation standpoint, really for the last couple of years, and will continue to be.
Right.
Cyber is changing. The definition of what cyber is changing. And
how is it changing? What are you seeing?
I think not all things cyber will rewarded.
Right.
And I think buyers are very discerning right now. So ultimately, you know, buyers can figure out what a company truly does when they get in to do their due diligence. But I think certain areas of cyber will continue to be active. I think big data is another area we're consistently hearing.
Data storage and data transmission.
And just managing the massive amounts of data that the government has to deal with each and every day.
I remember when my computer, my PC had... it was something like 280 megabytes of storage on it. And now, you know, if you don't have, you know, a terabyte of storage, you don't have anything
right.
worthy of speaking about. So, yeah, big data is obviously something
right.
with video and audio and all the other types of content we have to manage. It really is important. Who are some of the most active people doing acquisitions in the federal and defense marketplace today?
Well, it's been a wide group of companies that have been active. Obviously, the larger players like General Dynamics, Raytheon, Lockheed, which just announced a transaction today, I believe.
Really?
Yes, have been active. General Dynamics has probably been one of the most active amongst the larger players. But all, you know, by and large, most of the larger participants in the industry have remained active, you know, for years. I think that private equity has continued
Still.
To show interest in the sector, and that would be both new entrants, private equity groups that haven't historically been participants, who see it as a good buying opportunity,
right.
as well as the half a dozen or dozen legacy private equity groups that have focused on the defense and government marketplace.
Why are these companies continuing to buy, even in an uncertain environment involving an potential economic downturn and sequestration?
Right. Well, I think you know it's different by category, but if you look at the large players, you know they know at the ground level, despite the broad uncertainty out there, they have a sense and have tremendous resources to understand at the ground level what are the priorities to the customer. And so their acquisition strategies are geared towards filling out capabilities that meet the pretty well-established and known priorities of the customer that presumably are going to be somewhat immune to broader cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that's the very strategic buyer, and they're not necessarily a value buyer. They're buying to maintain growth and leadership in key areas that are perceived to be key areas going forward. There are private equity groups that perceive it as a value opportunity right now.
Really?
Yes.
You know, you're seeing a lot of layoffs. You're hearing about a lot of rifts that are occurring at some of these bigger defense contractors. Yet you're saying that the M&A market is robust, and that's not what I'm hearing from other people who are out there in the marketplace. But I mean, your nose is right there, and so I want to be able to distinguish that statement a little bit for the listeners out there. You know, it's robust in the right areas is what you're saying.
Right. It's robust in the right areas, or if you have the right expectations, and if you're well-positioned business. So there are a lot of transactions not happening today as
right.
well, probably more than usual.
Right. What could a seller expect in terms of valuations today using the metrics that investment bankers typically use?
Right. And well, you know, I think we are seeing more and more transactions that are of less specialized type businesses that are occurring, you know, at the multiple of a 6x EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, or a metric of cash flow, if you will.
Okay.
You know, look, prior to the very good times, that was really the average valuation we were seeing. So
right.
if you go back to the mid-90s, into early, you know, 2000s,
those,
right. So we're seeing multiples today for a large set of companies that are very consistent with multiples we saw, you know, pre 9/11.
Okay. Which makes sense. So the valuations are adjusted downward compared to what they were in the last 5 or 6 years, but they're still fairly robust. I mean,
right.
Six times EBITDA is not so bad compared to some other industries, which only attract maybe a three or four multiple, right?
Right.
So,
right.
All right. So we've talked about valuations. We've talked about opportunities. What are the impediments to completing an M&A transaction today in the DOD or federal marketplace? What are the things
yeah.
that you're seeing that are stopping people from going forward?
You know, I think what is sometimes hard for a seller of a business to grasp is about 95% of the sale process is some form of due diligence the buyer is doing on the acquisition target. So
right.
due diligence is not easy. You need to be, as a seller, incredibly prepared to go through that process. And so the impediment is really, you know, surviving the due diligence process. The biggest thing we're seeing right now is companies, the penalty for missing your numbers kind of during the sale process. I think the best example to use, if you look at publicly traded companies who have to report every quarter,
right.
When a company misses its numbers, as they say in Wall Street, they're usually punished from a stock price or valuation perspective. A private company is not immune to that. It's
sure.
just not as visible, but it's certainly visible to the buyer. So we are seeing buyers, you know, fixate on the numbers during performance. So if there was ever a time to under promise and over deliver, it's when you're going through the sale of your business.
So make sure you really understand what you're projecting, how you're projecting it, and make sure that you can hit those numbers, because if you don't, you may not have any offers at the doorstep.
Well, yeah, or you know, you may have had good offers that you lose
as a result of them
losing faith in the business, and it's compounded by this tight budget environment where buyers are fixating on understanding the stability of the business they're looking to acquire.
We're running short of time. What's the most important advice you can give to a company that is operating in today's defense and government services sector?
I think the thing is, you know, whether you're going to sell your business today or in the future, it's all about focusing on building value, doing the right things, doing the fundamentals, and I think the rest will take care of itself. If you focus on building long-term value, then your business will be well-positioned when you're ready to engage in a merger and acquisition transaction.
That's good advice. We're talking with John Allen, who is the founder of Bluestone Capital Partners. John, if people want to get in touch with you to find out more about the services that you offer, as well as on the private equity side, as well as merger and acquisition counseling, how do they get in touch with you?
I think the best way to do is look us up on the web, bluestonecapitalpartners.com. You can also, you know, reach me directly at 703-462-5601. And we're always happy and willing to talk to people and share our views on the marketplace.
And thanks for coming back on Blueprint for Wealth. I know that we're going to be talking again soon about the merger and acquisition market for government contractors.
Thank you for having me. And I guess since this will be on or around Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And by the way, listen to Blueprint for Wealth every week here on WFED at 10 a.m. and visit our blog at blueprintforwealth.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.